Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show.
Well, I think my dog's a Democrat, and it breaks my heart to have to say an ugly thing like that.
Parental guidance is suggested.
Yo, 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 what's happening? Welcome to the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show. I am your host, Jeremy Johnson. I'm here with my two co-hosts tonight, one of them being Chris Bikerson. Chris, how the hell are you doing tonight, brother?
You know what? I'm getting blown around this road worse than it. You know what? I'm not even going to finish that story because we are on radio. But I tell you what, I do have a surprise announcement. I haven't even told you about this yet, Jeremy. Now, I scored us a really big sponsor. And what I'm going to do here tonight, I'm just going to go ahead and tell everybody what I'm doing. I'm going to try to pull off the old Paul Harvey trick, you know, where I just start talking about something and make it sound like I'm just talking about it when it's really a paid commercial. Do you remember how Paul Harvey used to do that, Jerry? Or did you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So here we go. You know, so, I mean, times are tough right now. You know, costs are rising. The cost of everything is going up. Inflation has been really hard on a lot of the businesses. And that's why right now it makes more sense than ever to start shipping by rail, because shipping by rail is still fast. And it's still affordable. Norfolk and Southern, what's in your water?
Oh, my God.
That is so bad.
Dude. Trying to get death threat put on us or what? Holy shit, man. You just went right for the jugular tonight.
I'm feeling
shit. Yeah, no shit. Hey, we're here with my other co-host also, Daryl Gibbs. Daryl, how you doing tonight, my friend?
Man, I'm doing good. I'm over here recouping from my rotator cuff surgeries. Yeah, it'll be a few more weeks before I can get back into BART, my AKA, my big old red Peterbilt. But until then, I just got to go recover and start on physical therapy next week. Get the shoulder back together.
Hey, that's all right, man. I'm glad you're on the mend. That sucks, you know, really. But before we go to Daryl's thing, I forgot to mention this to you guys pre-show. I do have to do we're going to take a minute or two here out of our regular programming to pay honor to two Tennessee National Guardsmen that were killed this morning. Yesterday morning. When their helicopter crashed outside of Huntsville, Alabama. They were on a training mission. They're in a Blackhawk helicopter, and they fell out of the sky, and both were killed, obviously, instantly. And their names were Chief Warrant Officer 3, Daniel Wadham, and Chief Warrant Officer 3, Danny Randolph. So in honor of the Tennessee Guardsmen that were killed yesterday in their helicopter crash, let's take one moment for them and to honor them. In honor of Daniel Wadham and Danny Randolph, thank you for your service, and rest in peace, our heroes. So I just wanted to take the second to do that, ladies and gentlemen, because it's I'm a very patriotic man, and it's very important to me to honor those that have sacrificed everything for us. And yesterday, two Tennessee Guardsmen made the ultimate sacrifice. So Thank you for your service, gentlemen. Moving on from that, and that's always a tough one to move on from, because how do you have a peaceful transition from that to what you want to talk about next? But you know, we're still living and breathing. We have to just move on with what we're going to talk about. And so I want to go right to Daryl. Daryl wants to give the audience a few facts about Black History Month. And being an African American man himself, I thought it fitting that Daryl is given this opportunity to speak his mind on Black History Month, and then he's going to roll right into a thought he had about Tyre Nichols, the murder of him down in where the hell was that? That was in Tennessee too, wasn't it? Or
yeah,
South Carolina, one of the two. Memphis, Tennessee. Yeah,
that was
yeah.
Memphis.
Boy, bad news coming out of Tennessee. But go ahead, Daryl. So why don't you go ahead and lead us out with what you were wanting to talk about, and we'll go from there and have a discussion.
All right. Well, one of the things that they don't even teach in the history books, which we have to get this nation back on teaching on facts and on history, because right now we have a group of people that they do not want you to know history, because if you know history, then right now some of the things that we're fighting about, we will look at each other and say, what the hell are we doing? So, number one, there's out of Mexico. His name is Vincent Guerrero, and he was a mezzo, and mezzo means you're mixed with Spanish. So basically, he was the first Black Mexican president. He's the second president of Mexico, and but he was Mexico was the first that says we are going to free slaves, not United States. It was Mexico. So Black folks, we have also had the Underground Railroad that ran into Mexico. And President Guerrero, he even told the United States, he said, if you do not come here to pursue your slaves, because here they are our people. That's what in Mexico, the Black folks that escaped to Mexico, they are our people. You cannot have them because they are free. The Black Underground Railroad always ran down to Mexico. We don't hear none of this. No one has heard any of this. And one of his decree was, and I will say it real quick, the President of the United States of Mexico, know ye, that desired to celebrate in the year of 1829, the anniversary of our independence, with the act of justice and natural beneficiaries, which might result in the benefit and support of goods so highly to be appreciated, which might cement more and more the public tranquility, which might reinstate an unfortunate part of this inhabitants in the scarce rice which nature gave them, and which the nation protects by wise and just laws. In conformance with the 30th article of the Constitutive Act, in which uses extraordinary powers are conceded in me, I have bought into proper decree. First, slavery is abolished in the Republic. Second, consequently, those who have until now been considered slaves are free. Third, when circumstances of the treasury permit, the owners of the slaves will be compensated in the mode that the laws may provide, and in order that every part of this decree may be fully complied with, let it be printed, published, and circulated. That was given at the Federal Palace of Mexico, 15th of December in 1829. By Vincent Guerrero to Jose Maria Bonsergrea. Now, people who speak Spanish, I know I butchered some of this. I'm learning. But what I'm saying is this, folks. Part of this is history. A lot of people don't know about this. Mexico went on and accepted Black folks as their own, and they were the first to say no more with the slavery. So there's more things I'd like to put on there. One more thing I'll mention. Frederick Jones. He invented the first portable air conditioner unit. His invention was largely used for field military hospitals. And also, he has over 60 patents for various inventions. And one of the major ones is the refrigerator unit that you found on refrigerator trucks, like you see with Navajo and all them. He is also the co-founder of what we now call Thermo King. He has other inventions that he made was a portable X-ray machine, radio transmitter, personal radio sets, motion picture device, automatic dispersing machine, and a small gasoline engine. Now, these are things that they do not teach in our schools. The reason why is they do not want you to understand that people do not have to be entertainers. They don't have to play in the NBA. They don't have to play in the NFL. They don't have to be singers or rappers. They use their brain. They use their brain to be able to make things that enriched everybody here in the United States. And we have to start thinking about that. And then as for Memphis, I heard something today on 9 News. And they're talking about the 5 black police officers that killed Tyrese Nichols. Now, what happened? Every police officer, we're all pissed. Whether you're ex-police officer, you're retired, you're a police officer now, we are all pissed about how that happened. But the thing that irritates me is when there was a Dr. Rosemary Allen, she tries to throw this into systemic racism. And she's talking about diversifying officers. And I'm looking at this and say, okay, we're not really addressing the problem. What we're doing, it seems like we're spreading the fan on it. Because one of the things she mentioned was slave patrols. And no one knows what slave patrols are. But I'll tell you, it's an organized group of white men, both middle-class slave owners and lower-class yeoman farmers, which yeoman farmers were back in the day, men who farmed their own land. They had three duties: search for slave quarters, disperse slave gathering, safeguarding white communities. But due to the early black minority and the threats from the Native Americans and Spanish, as in South Carolina, they were the earliest people to establish these slave patrols in 1704. And then some of these farmers, they felt that the patrollers abused the slaves who had permissions to travel, while other farmers neglected to write their required permits. So a lot of this, now we also have white people that's saying, you know what you're doing is wrong. But she's trying to say this is part of the problem with our police, part of our police department, or something that's grown into our police department. And she also goes to saying that black men and Hispanic men, that we sit back and when we absorb this and we act out on it. Now, when I was a police officer, race had nothing to do with me stopping you. If you disobeyed a law, I'm going to stop you. That's my job. That's what I'm supposed to do. You're a criminal. Your business is to do what you do, but try to get away from me. My job is to stop crime and to catch you. That's what my job is. It has nothing to do whether you're black, white, female, Chinese, gay, or whatever. And now we're looking at this part, what they're not addressing, and you know what? I'm not making an excuse for them, because what they did, they need to be buried under a jail and never to be seen again. But they went after this man because of a video that he let out. Now, I'm not making this as an excuse for what they've done, but let's go back and let's look at the whole thing, because what he did would piss off any man, but they shouldn't have done what they've done. What the problem is, we have black men, take out the officer part. We just plain naturally have 5 black men that beat up on this white, on this other black man and killed him. And as for their friends, they should have enough gumption and in their friendship and integrity to say and look at him, no, we are not doing this. This is not right. We have to stop this. No, we're not going to be involved with this. Matter of fact, us being your friend, we're going to bring you with us so this doesn't happen,
but
and
see,
he goes away.
You forgot one thing, though, to the audience. When Daryl mentioned that there was a video, the video that was made by Tyree Nichols was a video of him banging one of the cops that beat him to death, banging his ex-wife. And it got sent to that police officer. So there was a vendetta there from one of those black police officers, and his friends decided to join in on the beating. And like Daryl's saying, yeah, they need to go away for a long time for this. But this Tyree Nichols wasn't – he didn't deserve what he got, no. But he wasn't
no.
innocent in all of this. Like, he was innocent in the fact that he didn't deserve to get the shit beat out of him to the point he died. Maybe a good crack alongside the skull, but that's it. You know, those what they did to him. I watched that video, man. That was brutal. I almost couldn't watch it because they kept on lifting him up and just punching. Geez, I mean, they beat the shit out of that guy, and he didn't deserve that. But you know, let's have a discussion about. I want to get back. We're kind of jumping topics here, and that scares me. It gets me all nervous. But I want to get back to what you first said about Black history and about slave owners, and I want Chris to jump in on this conversation too, because everything that you are being propagandized by politicians and media right now is an agenda that they're pushing. This whole reparation bullshit. That somehow I'm responsible for what happened to descendants of slaves, slaves back 200 years ago or 150 years ago. I didn't do that. And I can't find anything in my family where my family was responsible for that either. Why are you trying to have me push me to pay reparations to descendants of slaves? When it wasn't just black slaves, there was black slaves, there was black slave owners, there was Irish slaves. I mean, this whole argument that it's the white man that did this, that's just simply not true. The slave trade, what they call it, was a slave trade. It was something they did back in those days. Whether we like it or not, that is our history. Now, to learn the truthful history about slave owner and slave ownership and slaves in general, we need to know the truthful history of it so we don't repeat it. And you're seeing a lot of this with the electric cars being pushed and that whole new green deal. Oh yeah, we're going to save the environment. Meanwhile, the cobalt mines, they have child slave labor. You should see that. If you think slavery is over and you think it was strictly black people that were slaves, you're dead wrong. Right now, as we speak, there are children slaves in those cobalt mines making your electric car so you can, quote-unquote, save the planet. Well, you're fucking nuts because not everything is what it seems. Chris, what do you want to add to this discussion about as far as, you know, the true history of slaves and slaves, because I know you're pretty knowledgeable on this also, and I want to get your thoughts on this.
Well, like you said, you know, slavery was a worldwide institution at one time, and every race has been enslaved. Every race has enslaved others, and that is not limited to Western nations. And I mean, this all the way back in recorded history. And oftentimes, for the most part, when you go back to the real origin of the slave trade, way before the colonial times in America, slavery wasn't about race. Slavery was, literally, it was about who had control of the region. So two tribes of people of essentially the same race would fight for control of an area, one of those tribes would win, and the other tribe became their slave. And that's how it worked. And it wasn't until the world started getting really good at things like building roads and building, you know, horse carriages and discovering shipping routes, you know, ocean currents, and got really good at sailing ships into other countries and creating ports and setting up, you know, a system of trade, an international system of trade. It was only then that you started to see racial differences between who was buying the slaves and who was selling the slaves. But typically, and this is one of the biggest, and largely because of a popular movie, one of the biggest misconceptions is that white people were running into Africa, venturing into the country and kidnapping people to make them slaves. And in actuality, that would have been the survival rate had they done that because of various factors related to their lack of immunity to certain things in Africa, et cetera, the tribes that controlled the region. You know, their likelihood of surviving that would have been very, very slim. So what actually happened were tribes in Africa that fought each other for control of regions and enslaved other tribes. They would actually bring the people that they had captured over to the port area, and the people buying the slaves from there would, you know, essentially buy them at an auction and sail them back to wherever. But that was not limited to black folks. You do some research. There's the Barbary slave trade. We essentially use Irish and Chinese. They were technically indentured servants. By today's definition, that would be considered slavery. And as you pointed out, slavery still exists today and is largely supported by woke corporations like Apple is a really good example. Who takes advantage of child slave labor so that we can have, you know, more affordable smartphones and iPods, you know. So the hypocrisy of pointing to one particular group of people and say they're responsible for slavery and, as if no one else is insane. And basically, yeah. You know, slavery was a world thing. It wasn't just an American thing. It was a worldwide trade. And in actuality, America was not the first nation, but it was one of the first few nations to actually abolish slavery. And the UK was actually involved in breaking up the slave trade in Africa and actually sending troops, white European troops, down into Africa to enforce the prohibition of slavery and the slave trade down there. So this whole narrative that white people enslave people of color and that's it, and that's all you need to know about world history, is clearly meant to just divide us because there's some sort of incentive to divide us. But again, divide and conquer is the strategy. So we know who they're dividing. So
yeah.
Who do you think they're gonna conquer?
Yeah, exactly. Divide and conquer. If you're listening and you have something to add to the conversation and you wanna get on live, on air, uncensored, you can call in our guest call-in number, and that number is 516-387-1733. That's 516-387-1733. And when you get through and you can hear us speaking over your phone, just press the number one. That lets me know on our switchboard that you have something to say, and we'll bring you on so you can share your thoughts and opinions on it. You know, Daryl, you brought up something about being, you know, as a police officer, your job is to enforce the laws, as a prior police officer, I should say, former police officer.
Correct.
Guess what I was involved with again today, Daryl?
Uh-oh. BOT?
Yeah, for the second time in a month, I got myself in the middle of a high-speed chase.
What? I can't
believe that shit. Yeah, just south of Sioux City, Iowa today. I was like cruising along, minding my own business. I look at my rearview mirror, and I'm like, holy shit. I seen all these cops with lights coming. So I pull off to the shoulder right before an exit, and here comes a white Tahoe flying around me, cuts in front of me, gets off on the exit, all these cops come flying behind him. I'm like, I've been driving truck for 20 years, and I've never been involved with anything like that, never seen nothing like that, nothing. Now I've been involved with two in a month. I think the world is losing its mind. Holy shit.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's what we need CBs.
Yeah, it's crazy. It really is, man. It's gotten nuts out here. But, no, I think it's important. And you know, we're going to have episodes where we're going to get in-depth about some of this stuff, more in-depth. It's good. I like to have Daryl explain things a little bit, and Chris, because we all have different levels of knowledge involving every subject that we talk about. You know, Chris may be more well-versed about some things than I am and Daryl is, and Daryl might be more well-versed than, you know, me and Chris. That's what makes this show beautiful, because we have three different people on here with three different sets of knowledges and perspectives that we can really hammer home some of these subjects and really educate you in some sense. Some of the stuff that we talk about, you know, we like to have a little fun too, and we have to, because if we don't have a little fun and we don't laugh in our lives, life just becomes boring, you know. So that, and we're just here to, you know, give you a little education and then maybe make you laugh once or twice. And on that note of making you laugh, we are going to go to our favorite game. It's going to be called, this is our game now. Is it satire or is it a real news headline? And this is where me and Chris ask Daryl, we read off of a headline, whether it be from a satire account or from a real news account. And Daryl has to decide whether or not that is from a real news story or it's a satire news story. And so we're perfecting the game as we go, and we've got it down to where Chris will ask one and see if Daryl gets it right or wrong, and we're going to play the baseball rule. So if we get three strikes against Daryl, we win for the night. But if Daryl gets four balls, then he wins for the night. And so far, I think the first time we did it, I didn't get one right. Daryl got he guessed every one that I was trying to share with him. So I think we can declare Daryl the winner that night. But after that, Daryl's been he's been striking out a lot, and Chris has been throwing a lot of knuckleballs at him.
He sure has.
So, Chris, on that note, do you want to start it off with is it a satire, a news story, or is it a real news story?
Sure, let's get started. Let's get this inning going. And
right.
You know, I'm just going to throw it out there. Man, yeah, I don't know. I mean, is it a fastball night or curveball night? Maybe a knuckleball. I don't know. All right. Here we go. Wind up. Here's the pitch. DNC quietly approaches Bruce Willis about possible 2024 presidential run just hours after his dementia diagnosis.
Satire.
He's right. That's satire. That's satire.
Pa-pow!
Oh, my. That doesn't happen very often.
I got to reach and get me some big chew and put this in my jaw. I got man on
what,
second.
What is going on here? Did you just lose? I think Chris is losing his touch. I think we might have to replace him as a starting pitcher.
Oh, come on now.
Okay.
Here
we go. I got one for him. So, okay. Black students violently forced their white peers to pledge allegiance to BLM at elementary school. One white student was punched in the head. Is that a satire story, or is that a real news story?
Son of a bitch. Say that again.
Black students violently forced their white peers to pledge allegiance to BLM at an elementary school. One white student was punched in the head. Is that satire or is that true?
Damn, I know. Say satire.
Come on, Daryl. You're going to say satire? Did you say satire? Okay, well,
yes,
you'd be wrong.
Is
that is a true. That is a true headline.
For some reason, I knew that was true. Yeah. I was hoping that it was not.
Yeah,
that
so you are, you have one one strike and one ball against you. So
that's
let's just discuss this for a second here. Black students violently forced their white peers to pledge allegiance to BLM at an elementary school. At an elementary school, ladies and gentlemen, that, you know what that means? That parents and media and politicians are indoctrinating our young black youth into violently going after anybody that doesn't go along with the whole BLM narrative and agenda. This is not okay, and it's disturbing. What are your thoughts on that, Daryl?
Honestly, when you mentioned that, I wanted to say true. But I was hoping. I decided, you know what? No, we're not going down that slope. And it finds out that it's true. And see, this is what pisses me the hell off, because like this lady on News 8, New 9, whatever the hell it is, that over here in our radio station, and she's busy talking about from way back when and talking about, well, the police officer, blah, blah, blah. How come we're not talking about this? This is bullshit.
It's indoctrination.
That's all it is. The Democratic Party is acting like a bunch of freaking Nazis. Now somebody said, oh, my God, he can't say that. Yes, I can, because the Nazis, at least, they don't exist anymore. They can't do this to anybody, anyone else. But here we are. We got the Democratic Party, which BLM is part of. This is what they're doing. And we're sitting here and just pretending it doesn't exist. We got black folks.
Yeah,
we're quick. Where are they for this? This is elementary. This is elementary school. Where are you, folks?
Yeah.
I mean, are you that blind?
We're in trouble here. All right. I wanted to have Daryl weigh in on his opinion on that story, just because he got it wrong, and it is actually a true news story. And when we tell you news headlines that are actually a true headline, those are the ones we're going to discuss just briefly, just to give our thoughts on just the headline on it on its own. So let's go back over to Chris. Chris, you are 0-1 right now. Together with me and you together are 1-1. So let's get
one
a strikeout. Yep, let's go for it, brother.
All right, here we go.
Left hand.
World Government Summit panel discusses the shock needed for the new world order transformation.
That's true.
Damn it, that is true. I lost my touch tonight.
Oh,
wow.
Triple. Got scored.
Oh, yeah, one strike and two balls. Look at this, Daryl. So read that headline again, and why don't you take a second to discuss it, Chris. Share your thoughts on that headline, since it was your headline that you read.
All right. So literally it says the World Government Summit panel discusses the shock needed for the new world order transformation. So essentially they're talking about what kind of shock factor they need to use in order to coerce all of us peasants to go along with this whole one world government idea, the one that they're openly talking about bringing in, that we were all called crazy conspiracy theorists for 2 years ago when we talked about it. But now it's out there in the open and people still don't know.
Yeah, so it, people, you got to pay attention. You really, truly have to. We're in unprecedented times. Everything that they say is a conspiracy theory has been turning out to be true. And we're going to get more into that later on in the show when we start talking about the East Palestine, Ohio train derailment and Project Bluebeam and all that stuff. It'll be an interesting segment to our show, and I think we can go back to this headline and kind of show you this is what's happening. But okay, so Daryl, you have one strike and two balls. You are two pitches away from winning this segment of the game. So it's my turn to throw you a pitch. And here it is. Here is the headline. Is this satire or is this a true news headline? Unhinged climate activist storms stage, interrupts Senator Josh Hawley's speech, and screams, China is not our enemy. The climate crisis is. Is that satire or is that a true news headline.
That's true.
Shit. Oh, boy. Chris, he might go for the win tonight. That was a true.
He's onto it.
No, I
because the reason
What's
I said
that?
That because I said I should be 4-4 because the reason I said that because that second one you did, I knew it was true, but I honestly was hoping that it was not because that is just some sad shit to hear. That still irritates the hell out of me. But okay.
Okay, so
I need one more.
This was a real news story. So a climate activist actually did storm the stage where Josh Hawley was doing his speech and screamed that China is not our enemy. The climate crisis is. Now, I want you to think about that for a second. This is how frickin' brainwashed these people are, that they think that China isn't a threat to America, that the climate crisis is more of a threat to us than China. They've done, ladies and gentlemen. Indoctrination and propaganda causes for people to act irrational. And in this case, there you go. All right, Chris. He's on the verge of taking this one. We gotta really come up with some strategy here.
I'm just going to add to your last one, though, real quick. I'm going to add to your last one there. Remember when Alyssa Milano made her statement about how she was dumping Tesla because Elon Musk was a Nazi and she was so proud to be driving a Volkswagen? And then the whole world laughed at her because Volkswagen was literally founded by Nazis.
Yep.
So this girl's up there in the Senate chambers, right? And she's screaming that China is not our enemy. The climate crisis is. Well, I've got bad news for her. China is the largest contributor of CO2 emissions on the planet. So if the climate crisis is our enemy, then by default, so is China. But I digress.
Okay.
All right.
We got to cut your mic off because you're making way too much sense, Chris. And you know we cannot have that on this radio show.
All right. All right. How about I just read this headline? All right. Here we go. Are you ready, Daryl? Are you in the batter box?
I'm in the batter box. Hold on. I got to knock this dirt off my cleats. All right. Let's go.
All right. FDA establishes no link between Taco Bell and diarrhea.
Is that true or is that satire?
Okay. Is that – oh, man. Oh. Taco Bell and diarrhea. I'm going to regret this answer.
Come on. You've got to have an answer.
All right. I'm just – okay. Satire.
Damn it. That is satire.
Oh.
Daryl just beat him.
Ding, 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 ding.
All right. This game is rigged.
We got voting fraud going on here.
You know what? I just saw one of those NFL referees running out of the studio.
You're getting put in a penalty box. Hey, you know what, Daryl? You finally really redeemed yourself tonight by we only had one strike on you tonight, and you got 4 out of the 5 headlines correct tonight. You're catching on. Me and Chris are going to have to step up our game. That's all there is to it. But, hey, congratulations to Daryl, though.
Yep. I should have been undefeated because that second question, I was just, that hurts.
Yeah. Well, you did it. And anyway, so.
I did it.
Moving on with the show. You know what? Before we move on with the show, let me just give ourselves a 30-second break to transition here. And we will be right back in 30 seconds.
There are folks out here who still take pride in their everyday ride. Low profilers, million milers, chicken lights, and chrome stylers. The ones who do whatever it takes to keep America rolling. Those who know if a job is worth doing, it's worth doing right. Olsnot. Great products for real people. It may not be new, but it's Bolsnot new.
That's Bolsnot, everybody. If you have not tried out their products, I strongly suggest that you do, highly suggest that you do. I actually use their products. Their window cleaner is a favorite of mine, and their polish in the summertime. But you can check out Bolsnot. Google Bolsnot, and it'll bring you right to their website. They have spectacular products. They're available in many, many truck stops nationwide. I highly suggest you try their product. Moving on with our show, ladies and gentlemen, we wanted to get to the train derailment and the Nord Stream pipeline, who's responsible for that, and the spy balloons that we're seeing all over. One leads to the next, so we're going to start off with the Nord Stream pipeline. And this leads back to the climate activist that says, you know, China's not our enemy, the climate changes. Meanwhile, guess who's responsible for blowing up the Nord Stream pipeline, releasing methane gas like you wouldn't believe? Our own president, our own administration, our own government. It come out the news that, yes, in the Joe Biden administration was, in fact, responsible for blowing up the Nord Stream pipeline, which is why you're seeing so many distraction stories, in my opinion, across the news. Now, I talked to Chris a little bit, you know, earlier about that. What do you know about the admission of or the finding out that our own government was, in fact, responsible for the blowing up of the Nord Stream pipeline? Chris, what kind of information do you have?
Oh, man. I had the guy's name earlier. He is a world-famous journalist. I believe he's in his 80s. And he is the journalist who broke the story on the infamous My Lai incident during the Vietnam War, which was an incident where U.S. troops invaded a village and conducted a mass execution of civilians, including women and children. And the government tried to cover that up, but he broke that story. He's done a number of high-profile stories over the decade. So this guy knows his stuff. He's got some really good contacts within within the military and the government, where he's able to get to the bottom of things and find his own whistleblowers. And it was an elaborate, what they would call a black op, black operations, covert operations, off the books. And it was carried out, executed, ordered by some high-level members of the government, not the president, of course, but, you know, some of the others. And essentially, yeah, some highly specialized naval divers, not Navy SEALs, because there is a requirement that any operations they carry out requires the Senate Arms Committee to be advised and the president to be advised of the mission they're carrying out. So they used regular sailors, regular Navy personnel, but again, highly specialized divers that went out and set remote control C4 detonation devices on the pipeline during a training exercise that was carried out not too far away from the pipeline. And then at a later time, there was a plane, military flight, that flew over and sent out the signal that detonated those devices on a delay timer after the plane had cleared the area. They blew up and released, you know, a few, probably a few million tons of methane gas, you know, that's so dangerous to the environment. That's why we have to quit raising cows, but it's okay to blow up a pipeline and just wholesale spew the stuff straight into the atmosphere at high speed.
And there you have it, folks. Our own United States government has been the biggest terrorist organization in the world. including CIA, FBI, and all the other alphabet organizations that belong to the federal government. We've talked about the Iran-Contra scandal, where that's proof that the CIA was involved. Our own government officials were involved, all the way down to your local police departments. The fact that our country is so corrupt is not a new thing. It's just we are all starting to wake up to it and starting to research it more and starting to spread it out massively through social media, which is why I continue to get banned on all of my social media apps. I'm currently in a ban right now on TikTok. Again, I don't care. We're going to keep spreading the truth. That's what we do. So we're talking about the Nord Stream pipeline. What does that do? It's one of Russia's pipelines, and it transfers natural gas to, and they blew that pipeline up, causing a shortage of heating, natural gas for heating in Europe. And what was Joe Biden's first remark about it? That Russia did it. Russia blew up their own pipeline. That's what they do, ladies and gentlemen. So just so you're aware. Now, let's fast forward. Train derailments. Train derailments happen all the time. They do. They do happen. They're coming more prevalent now. And Chris will get more in-depth about this here in a few minutes. But recently in East Palestine, Ohio, a train derailed carrying hazardous material. Now, this hazardous material was vinyl chloride, made to manufacture plastics, auto parts, and numerous other things. It is a very, very toxic carcinogenic, causing liver cancer, leukemia, brain cancer, all sorts of stuff. And I want to read you a part of USA Today article that I read about how toxic this vinyl chloride is, because, by the way, East Palestine, Ohio is like a town of, it's not a very big town, but there was livestock dying all the way, all the fish died in all their area rivers. The Ohio River is nearby. The Ohio River drains into the Mississippi eventually, but this stuff is absolutely ridiculously toxic. And now I'm trying to find my USA Today article, and it's not coming up, which is kind of weird, because I literally just shared it out to these guys about an hour ago, and the fact that I can't get it up now is really kind of concerning to me, because that doesn't usually happen. Chris, while I'm trying to get this to work, can you go into the conversation you had with the guy, one of your friends that is familiar with trains and how trains work and all that good stuff?
Okay. No, I'm sorry. I'm immature. And I'm still trying to get over the fact that you just gave a public apology for the fact that you couldn't get it up and that it rarely happened. You know what? It happens to everybody, Jeremy. Don't worry, big guy. We've all been there, whether we'll admit it or not.
Get the hell out of here.
All right. I'm going to be serious now, though, seriously. So I guess these trains networks have gone to a system that they call precision scheduling railroading, or precision schedule railroading, PSR for short. And that involves basically a more digitized system that allows them to go in and reduce work staff, cut labor, right? And of course that affects safety. The crews got smaller. Maintenance has been taking a hit. Safety inspections have been taking a hit. It has led to an increased number of incidents with the trains, the derailments. You know, and most derailments
you know, you hear the word derail. Most derailments are minor. A car or two jumps the track. They don't fall over. A lot of them happen at low speeds. Then they have to stop. They have to get the crane, you know, the rescue vehicles out there with the crane to lift them back up on the track, and it's not a big deal. But irregardless, the derailments have been increasing, and or increasing, I should say. And I guess according to what I'm hearing from my one friend, the ultimate finding well, it's not the ultimate finding, but the preliminary finding is that there was an axle that was overheated, likely as a result of a roller bearing failure. So it sounds like maybe the thing wasn't properly greased. Perhaps the wheel bearing cases had not been removed and replaced at the appropriate maintenance interval, whatever is the case there. However, I'm also getting that there are hot box detectors positioned every 20 to 25 miles along the tracks that are literally there to detect things like overheating axles that ultimately cause braking systems to fail, air systems to fail. And that pretty much, I believe the number I got was 18 minutes. According to some camera footage that was spotted and the location of the hot box detector, apparently that axle was in the process of overheating for 18 minutes before they hit that hot box detector, which sends a message to the engineer of the train, letting them know that they're overheated. After 18 minutes of being overheated and the friction of running down, you know, the rails for, you know, at whatever speed, 50, 60, 70 miles an hour, it was too late at that point to do anything about it. The systems failed. Their ability to control the cars was basically null and void at that point. And I didn't think about this. You and I had gotten a little bit of an education on this yesterday. But we think of trains in a static sense, you know, like the locomotive goes a certain speed and all the rail cars behind it, you know, they get pulled along at the same speed. And that's not the case. Because of the length involved of the train, in some cases you have part of the train going uphill and slowing down, while other parts of the train at the same time are going downhill and obviously trying to pick up speed. And I guess there's some pretty complex control mechanisms that the engineers use to control braking and stuff over these varying grades of the train in order to ensure that amount of spacing is kept between the cars and so that you can control the slack. And if you're not aware of the slack, there's basically, I believe, about 2 feet of slack in between each car, right? That, so you think about when they come to a stop, you've all seen the rail car that, you know, the car in front of it stops and then the other one travels forward an additional 2 feet, right? Now you think about that. If you're running a train that's got 100 cars, right, and there's 2 feet of slack, that means your total slack there is 200 feet. You add a few more cars, if you're running a 150-car train, you're talking an entire football field just of slack. So when that train suddenly stops in front, if you don't have the ability to control that slack on the cars behind, there's literally going to be 150 collisions of one car slamming into the one in front of it and over a distance of 300 feet by the time you hit the back of the formation there. So when you lose the braking ability because of the overheated axle, basically at that point the engineer loses the ability to control the slack between the cars. And this particular train was over 12,000 feet long. That is over 2 miles long. So when you have that much slack and that many cars coming into a derailed car or one that's malfunctioned, well, that's how you end up with 50 cars going off, you know, and jumping the track. So that's my way too long analysis.
Yeah, no, and that that's needed to get to the story I'm about to get to involving the USA Today. So I read this article, and I was reading it, and I'm like, holy shit. This is way, way worse than what any of us even could have imagined. And the fact that mainstream media, this isn't a headline story, is very concerning to me. But here's what the headline reads. Norfolk Southern released 1.1 million pounds of vinyl chloride after the derailment. 1.1 million pounds, ladies and gentlemen. Think about that for a second. Now, this stuff, like I told you, is a very, very toxic carcinogenic. And when you get into what this stuff will do and to the people that were nearby, and the government evacuated them and then told them to go back, and it's okay to drink the water. I mean, what the fuck is going on with our government that they would literally put people in harm's way? I'm not understanding this. So there was a senator that went out there today, and he took his he had like a stick, and he just rubbed it on the bottom of the creek bed. And when he did it, you should have seen the shit that come up from that was in the ground because of the stuff that was in the air, this vinyl chloride. And they told these people, literally told these people, like, oh, you can go ahead and drink the water. It's safe now. They had a town hall last night, and I can't remember how many of the residents showed up, but it got very, very, very heated. As well, they should be upset. What? I'm baffled at the government on the way they handled this. I mean, this is an environmental disaster that is going to affect millions and millions and millions of people, not to mention farmland and crops in the Ohio area. Not just for a couple weeks or a couple months, but for probably years and decades to come. And our government is sitting back, not doing anything about it. Our media isn't talking about it. What's going on here, ladies and gentlemen? Why are we not asking these questions? Why are we not asking or holding our representatives accountable and saying, why the hell are you doing anything? Are we all Americans, or are we just some of us Americans, and because we don't live in East Palestine, Ohio, we shouldn't talk about it? It doesn't affect us? Is that it? I'm really at a loss for words right here, because it's sickening to me to see what's going on. And nobody's – if you read about it on social media, it's the only place you find it. The news ain't talking about it. Why? Why isn't the news talking about it? Anybody want to answer that one for me? Because I'm not getting it. Did you know that this released? Go ahead.
Well, you know as well as I do. Most likely, if a certain orange-haired man were still on, CNN would probably be running a nonstop ticker at the bottom of the screen, listing all the side effects, all 537 side effects of all the chemicals involved in that spill. There would be most likely be, you know, there would be the director of the Cancer Centers of America would be on there talking about what kind of exposure rates we could expect over a 200-mile radius because of this. You know, CNN reporters would be reporting on site wearing full hazmat suits, right? We would have chemists on there talking about the different chemicals involved and all the dangers they pose. I mean, you know as well as I do, it would probably be a nonstop media circus. Unless this one thing has something to do with it. The majority shareholders, basically the largest owners of Norfolk and Southern Rail Lines, are two little companies that we've talked about on here before, BlackRock and Vanguard. And
would you like to take a guess what two companies are also major shareholders in all the media companies? Go ahead, take a guess.
Let me guess. Let Daryl guess that. Come on, Daryl.
Let's see. Union Pacific? No.
Fucking guy.
All
Warren
right.
Buffett?
Yeah, you guessed it. Warren Buffett. Yeah, there you go. No, BlackRock and Vanguard. So basically the largest owner of the rail line that caused this hazmat incident is also the largest owner of all the media corporations, all the large media corporations in America. And I can't help but think that has a hell of a lot to do with why all the big media companies aren't really talking too much about that Norfolk Southern train.
Oh, you're not suggesting that this is about shareholders and money and value, is it? That we're putting people's lives and their health above shareholders and money? You're not suggesting that, are you?
Pfizer. I am absolutely suggesting.
And I'm actually agreeing with you because that's absolutely what is happening right now. And by the way, those of you that don't know who BlackRock is a financial firm. They have over $10 trillion of assets. $10 trillion, ladies and gentlemen. I can't even fathom what that number is. Like, $10 trillion. Do you know the United States, what do we have for assets? Chris, do you know that number right offhand? I believe it's like $78 trillion in assets. I want to say, but I could be way off on that.
I can't answer that, but I can tell you this. Imagine $100,000, because we can all imagine that number, right? That's pretty reachable for us in our daily life as far as the value of our real estate, et cetera. Imagine going out and making $100,000. For some of you, that's a year's worth of income. For some of us, it's 2 years' worth of income, whatever the case is. Now imagine making $100,000 10 times over so that you make $1 million. All right. Now that you've made $1 million, think about all that would take you to make $1 million. Now imagine doing that 1,000 more times, repeating that $1 million in earnings, repeating that 1,000 times. That gets you to $1 billion. Now go out and repeat that effort 1,000 times, and you've got $1 trillion. And then repeat that 10 times, and now you've got the value of the assets of those two companies.
Yeah.
United States assets is $2.69 trillion. That's our
$2.69 trillion.
Really?
Okay, so, So this company owns 5 times more assets than what the United States owns. Basically that's it. And by the way, BlackRock, Vanguard, they are the World Economic Forum's financial partner. What does that tell you? They're up to no good, ladies and gentlemen. Now I want to put out a little number for you besides that one. So there is a lawsuit. Obviously, a lawsuit is underway. The firm that's suing Norfolk Southern claims that Norfolk Southern released more vinyl chloride into the environment in 1 week than all industrial emitters combined did in 2021. Now think about that one. We're going to blow your mind with facts tonight. They released more vinyl chloride into the environment in 1 week than all industrial emitters did in 2021 combined. That is in one little area. Do you not think this is a natural disaster or an environmental disaster? This is in epic proportions. And you know the saddest part about this? his Joe Biden administration today denied issuing an emergency disaster relief order for the East Palestine area. And by the way, East Palestine, Ohio has 4,800 residents. 4,800 of our fellow Americans are in extreme danger right now, and your federal government, the ones that you elect, refuse to help them. And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say it very firmly. Fuck Joe Biden, and fuck this whole fucking administration for being the assholes that they are, the tyrants that they are, and I hope they all burn in hell. That, there you go. There's my opinion on that. Daryl, did you want to add something to that?
What was that? Hello, can you hear me? Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. You know what? The Democratic Party. Let's just put it out there, people. And I'm going to tell you this. Disclaimer: not all people in the Democratic Party are evil, sadistic assholes. But unfortunately, we have a person who's supposed to be the leader of the United States, and his cohort don't even have enough nerve to get up here and help these people out. But hey, don't worry. You know what? You're just Americans. We're not going to worry about you because we're going to worry about everybody else. We're going to bring people over here in the United States.
And your feelings ain't getting hurt. So thank God we have Joe Biden, right? You dipshits. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
Sorry. Sorry, Daryl.
invite all these other people over. You know what? Let's send all our jobs overseas. These people, they're just telling you. They don't care about you. But yet, you're going to have people that's going to sit back and say, and I hate to say it, but they're going to say, oh, Joe Biden's the greatest president ever met. No, he's not. He's a freaking bigot. You heard me. Oh, yes, I said it, bigot. And you people in Ohio, I pray for you because Biden, he ain't going to come to your rescue. Only time he's going to come to your rescue is when all of a sudden the poll says you suck, which they already says, and then he's going to try to come in and save the day. But wait a minute. Hold on. I know they've done it. Blame him for everything. I'm getting tired of that bullshit. Start blaming. Where is the outrage for Biden and their administration to do what's right and come rescue these people? This shit is serious. I am sick and tired of all these large corporations. They get a pass on everything. But then when it comes down to hurting regular people, nope, we don't hear anything about that. Nothing to see. But yet you turn around, these people sit back. Yay, Joe Biden. People, wake up. They don't care about us. They are slowly destroying America.
You know just as well as I do that this train derailment was a direct result of white supremacy and racist railroad tracks. You know that. That's what the media tells us, and that's what the Democratic Party tells us. That's what Pete Buttigieg tells us, that those railroad tracks needed to be less white, and this would have never happened.
No. These people are freaking. Yeah. I'm surprised somebody didn't come out and said the railroad cars were prejudiced or something like that. I am totally surprised on that because you have especially you got somebody that said, oh my God, that China is not our enemy. Climate control is. Hey, people, let me tell you something about this climate control shit. You know what? God has it under control. The world is still here. It hasn't ended. You idiotic Democratic people keep saying the world is going to end, and here we still are. And now we have a natural disaster that has happened. They're taking it lightly. They don't. They just showed you they don't give a shit. And they showed you that we just told you the big cover-up. Why none of these news medias are really covering this. Because of these stakeholders. So that tells you who Biden, who he's going with. He ain't going with you, the American people. He ain't going with you, you hardworking people. And you people, especially in poverty, he doesn't give a damn about you. And that includes black folks who keeps voting for his dumbass. That also includes Hispanics. And guess what? White people.
You want to hear something really good, Daryl? When I went to the capital of St. Paul for a rally for our National Guardsmen, I went up there with my good friend Bull Johnson and Patrick Dennis and a couple other people that I'm associated with the Constitutional Republic Party out of Minnesota. And I ran into Jesse Ventura there. Yes, Governor, the Jesse the Body, the ex-governor of Minnesota. And I've got him on video. And I have the video. It's on video. When I walked up to him, we started chatting a little bit. He started talking about climate change. And he told me, and I think I said this in a previous episode on the Disinspected Trucker radio show, but he told me, he goes, "You're not going to convince me otherwise that the cow's methane gas isn't affecting our climate change. I believe in that wholeheartedly, and you're not going to change my mind about it. And when he said that, like, he must have noticed my jaw, like, dropped to the ground, because I was, like, maybe trying to pick it up. I don't know. But I'm like, are you kidding? This Jesse Ventura just said that. And then he went on to talk about how he owns electric cars and how he has solar panels at his house, and he collects a check from XL Energy every year for over $1,000 because he produces more electricity than what he uses. And somebody asked him at a later date, how does your electric car work in the wintertime in Minnesota? He goes, I don't know. I go to Mexico. So now I want you guys to understand this something. All these people that are pushing this bullshit climate change agenda on you, Bill Gates, the World Economic Forum, the Jesse Venturas of the world, are all getting on these planes and flying to their vacation homes in the wintertime to get out of the cold weather, or flying to these summits to tell the rest of the world how they need to cut their climate footprint or their carbon footprint, when we have technology now where you can do Zoom calls, Zoom meetings, where you don't even have to get on a jet and fly. You can just do that Zoom meeting, you know, and everything is right there. And God, just think of all the carbon footprint or the carbon we could stop in the air if these hypocritical cocksuckers would quit flying their private jets all over the world to tell the peasants that you can't drive your car anymore, you can't do this anymore, you can't do that anymore. You know, they're a bunch of hypocrites, ladies and gentlemen. You're not even looking at it clearly. You're listening to what the mainstream media is pushing down your throats, and you're just going along with it blindly. And then you let it affect you to the point where you're getting up on a stage of and interrupting Josh Hawley, of all people, screaming that China is not the enemy, climate change is, a climate crisis. You guys are out of your fucking minds. You're brainwashed and you're nuts. I don't give a shit what you think. If you don't like my opinion, good, don't listen to the show, because I'm going to continue to share my opinion. It's pretty fucking plain and simple. It's plain as day that you're being brainwashed and programmed. Do you think climate change is really truly about the climate? Have you seen some of the shit that they want to do to restrict your freedoms? Look up the term 15-minute cities. Just, it's on Google. You just go Google search it. 15-minute cities. They want to, in metropolitan areas, suburbs, such like that, they want to cordon every city off in 15-minute districts. And what does that mean? You're going to have your job, your entertainment, your food source, everything that you need will be in that 15-minute city. And a 15-minute city is where you can walk or ride a bike within 15 minutes of your home to obtain everything you need to live life. No more cars, just walking and riding bikes in your 15-minute city. You're allowed to own a car, but you're not able to operate in that 15-minute city. And here's the kicker of it. They're going to issue permits for you to leave your 15-minute city. Up to 100 times a year, you're allowed to leave your 15-minute city to travel to another 15-minute city. And I see people on social media actually cheering this on. Good, that'll help our climate. Are you kidding me? Are you not paying attention here? Or do you have no critical thinking ability? They want to isolate you into a section, cordon off a section of a city where you're required to stay and live how they tell you to live. You're not allowed to freely travel. That's what they want to do. I don't understand how people can go along with this so blindly, thinking that They're being all noble and standing up for a noble cause of climate change, and we're going to save the planet. The planet has natural cycles, ladies and gentlemen. It has for thousands of years. This isn't nothing new. Jesus Christ, I don't understand why people can't get that through their head. Chris, why don't you weigh in on all of this that we're talking about right now? I go off on a rant, and it drives me crazy. This is a shit that keeps me up at night. But go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. They're basically creating districts. And a lot of people have referred to this as the Hunger Games plan because, you know, they create your district and you got to stay in your district unless you have essentially paid written permission. I'm sure those permits to go out of district are not going to be free. So you got to get paid written permission to leave your district, to leave your zone. What's going to happen when we allow them to do all this and, the hurricanes haven't stopped, the tornadoes haven't stopped, you know, the harsh winters haven't stopped, the hot summers haven't gone away, you know, our CO2 emissions are way down, but, man, they're just not delivering on any of these changes, you know, so... It's all about control. Everything that they're throwing out there is about control. And if you boil it down to its basic element, okay, essentially the message from all the alarmist nanny states, wannabe dictators, it's real simple. You absolutely, positively have rights. You absolutely have freedom. They're just subject to revocation anytime there's a virus somewhere on the world or weather is happening.
Yeah, speaking of viruses, the World Health Organization just had an emergency meeting because of an outbreak of the Marburg virus in Africa. And I posted about this probably a year, maybe a year and a half ago, about the Marburg virus. This Marburg virus, if you thought the COVID-19 virus was bad, which... people died with COVID, not because of COVID. People will die because they got this Marburg virus. This Marburg virus is some serious shit. If you haven't heard of it or you don't know about it, go look it up. But they're already putting their next – and Bill Gates said this. Let me interrupt myself. That he said the next pandemic will get people's attention. When in your entire life have you heard – somebody talk about the next pandemic will get people's attention, unless that pandemic was planned. They are planning this shit, and you're too brainwashed and you're not thinking outside the box. You're listening to your mainstream media that continuously feeds you propaganda and lies. They're setting us up for the next pandemic, and this one I'm afraid will be the real deal. This one will really kill people. I wasn't so convinced about the COVID-19 at the beginning. It was about the beginning of the pandemic is about the time that I started to wake up from the brainwashed slumber that I was in, including the lies coming out about Donald Trump, and I believe the mainstream media. You know, I always thought to myself, I'm very well informed because I spend a lot of time every day reading media. I read the news stories, and I know what I'm talking about. Oh, I did know what I was talking about. I was a fine candidate for spreading propaganda because of the mainstream media, because I was reading every one of their fucking articles, and I was spreading it to all my friends and family. Because I read their article, I know what I'm talking about. Well, it turns out I was a dumbass, brainwashed, programmed idiot. Because when I started doing my independent research and digging into stuff that they were talking about independently and going to different news sources, I found out rather quickly that I've been being lied to my whole life, and so have you, and so is all of us. If you think that anything that we've been told our whole life is even remotely close to the truth, you're fooling yourself. You've gotten to the point where you're living comfortably because certain things don't affect you. well, now it's going to start to affect you, and it's going to start to affect you in very major ways. Your freedoms are going to be ripped from you if you don't stand up and you just don't comply, which is my plan. I will not comply anymore to any of this bullshit. And if that means that it's going to take my life because of it, then that's what it means. My children deserve to grow up with the same freedoms that I enjoyed. And I intend to make damn sure that that happens in any means possible for me, excluding violence. I'm not a violent person, and I don't want to do that, so there's my disclaimer. But I will be disobedient. I will not comply. And you're going to see some things come out. I mean, they tried it with the monkeypox to see if they could scare people, and it worked for some. Hell, they had people lining up for monkeypox vaccinations in New York State. New York State's a lost fucking cause, just as much as California is. I mean, there's some great people in New York State and great people in California, but for the most part, those are two states with the biggest population of sheep. I mean, it's horrible. But, Daryl, what are your thoughts of what we're just talking about, the 15-minute cities and the climate change and the whole narrative that they're pushing worldwide?
Well, this worldwide narrative that they're pushing, like, and I'm going to just say this real quick. Nothing against Rich, against y'all, because we played a lottery. Everybody wants to get it. But it seems like the people that have lost their damn minds are these people that got so much money, they got time to waste. But you don't hear normal people wanting to do dumb shit like this. 15-minute cities, I'm sorry, folks, but... here in Colorado, in the Denver metro area, I ain't staying within this 15-minute area. That's why we drive cars to go to Arvada and go to Golden, because I'm not going to sit around for a 15-minute issue. And then again, like you said, I think it was you or Chris, they're going to give you a permit so you can leave that area. You know it's going to be costly. So guess who it's going to really bother with? You people who are poor. You people got families, people who are working their asses off, like me, who's working paycheck to paycheck. People like that, because we don't want to pay for that shit. And me personally, I don't need someone to tell me to give me a permit so I can go someplace. Screw that. And if you people want to go ahead and have that, then all means, you know what, you can stay in your neighborhood, stay within your 15-minute area, and you can do that and leave the rest of us to hell alone and let us have our damn freedom. And as for this Marlboro virus disease, when did you say you mentioned this?
Marburg, the Marburg virus. Hey, by the way, Daryl, can you try to adjust your mic? No big deal. Just wanted to give you a heads up.
How's that?
Yeah, the Marburg virus. Yep, good. I posted that out about a year and a half ago. It was shortly after the COVID-19 virus hit, and then I started waking up to what they were doing with the propaganda and all that in the media with the COVID-19 virus. And I started looking up certain things, and I come across this article about the Marburg virus, and I'm like, holy shit. I started reading into this, and I'm like, wow, dude, this is what they're going to push, the next virus. And I was wrong a little bit, because they kind of started pushing the monkeypox virus, and then that kind of went off to the wayside when they figured it out. It was only homosexual men that were catching it. So they didn't want to go into that whole narrative, because their other narrative is transgender and LGBTQ plus all that. Propaganda and programming. They didn't want to ruin that, so they went away. The media dropped that one rather quickly. I do see we have a caller, though. And let me bring this caller on and see what they want to add to the conversation. 4409, we're going to add you onto the conversation. And take 2 seconds, and you'll be on live, and you are on live. 4409, welcome to the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show, and what would you like to add to the conversation tonight?
Hi, guys. How's everybody doing? This is Old School Reaper up here in Canada. Once again,
oh, hey, Reaper.
I'm on your radio.
Right on, man. How you doing?
No, I'm okay. I just want to put a couple of pointers out there to you, Jeremy. you know, when you're talking about the 15-minute cities, you know, this seems to be a hot topic up here right now. Like, I mean, everybody's getting involved into it because, I mean, it's affecting us pretty quick up here. I mean, they're bringing it into the municipalities pretty quick. So, you know, a lot of us up here, we've been diving into it pretty deep, right? So the thing is, now there is another scenario that's going on behind the scenes that people haven't paid attention to. Now, I don't know about you folks down there, but here in Canada, they just announced that the our policing force are implementing the cameras on all their cruisers. Now, this isn't really anything new because, I mean, we've had cameras on our cruisers for years, but they've been basically just sort of like, let's say, experimenting with them, building them up, you know, and ironing out the bugs type thing for the last few years. But now it's came into effect here just last week, or I should say introduced just last week, that they're going to have them on all the cruisers. And there's a reason why this is happening in conjunction with the 15-minute cities, because anybody who thinks that they can get away from their 15-minute zone by sort of like detouring or whatever the case may be, you know, these guys, I mean, the authorities can be sitting on a street corner, they can be sitting in your back alley, they could be driving down the road, and they know exactly that you've already passed them and you are outside of your 15-minute zone. So, I mean, they don't even have to pull you over. They've got you on their camera, you're in the system, and the next thing you know is you get and by the way, just to elaborate on this a little bit further, this also runs in conjunction with the CBDCs. So now that you've been detected outside of your 15-minute zone, so you will automatically have a certain amount of credits removed from your bank account. And this is all documented, by the way. I mean, you can go on to all the municipality websites, and I mean, the information is all there. So your credit score, okay, will obviously have a deduction into it for you leaving your 15-minute zone. Now, at the present moment, they have it listed as a currency fine, and that currency fine here is $56 out and $56 in. In other words, if you leave your 15-minute zone, you will be charged $56. But when you come back into your 15-minute zone, they charge you another $56 to come back. So this, like I said, it's all running in conjunction with each other. Okay, the cameras on the police cruisers, the 15-minute zones, the CBDCs, it's all joined together. And this is where people need to pay attention. Even though they think that they're going to, let's say, skip the system or sort of, you know, jump through the hoops or whatever, they're not looking at how everything is all happening at the same time.
And you're absolutely correct, because what people don't understand is this is all part of the World Economic Forum's 2030 agenda. And if you haven't figured it out yet for you folks up in Canada, Justin Trudeau and Chrystia Freeland are with – Chrystia Freeland's a part of the World Economic Forum. I mean, that's public, and so is Justin Trudeau. But they work for the World Economic Forum. They are World Economic Forum puppets. And this is all easily researchable on worldeconomicforum.org. You can go look all their agenda up, all their plans, all up on the World Economic Forum. And let me not forget to say, guess whose name is on the Epstein list? Justin Trudeau. Oh, isn't that special? So Justin Trudeau was flying over to Epstein Island, ladies and gentlemen, just so you know that. But go ahead, Reaper.
Yeah, let me just give you a little bit of an update there on Freeland, because she has signed on a contract with the United Nations. So She's basically going to be leaving Canadian Parliament and joining the United Nations. Now, God only knows who the hell's going to take her place. But here's a big, if she does get into the United Nations board, which obviously, like I said, she's already signed on the contract. So I imagine it's only going to be a matter of time and she's going to be there. But the point is, if somebody doesn't take her out now, I mean, my God almighty, when she gets into the United Nations, she is going to be a threat to the world in the worst kind of way, not just for Canada, but for the world.
Yeah, she's – I don't know who's worse, her or Justin Trudeau. I mean, they are tyrants, and she laughs and smiles about it. I've seen that video of that gentleman confronting her in the elevator, and he said some very choice words to her, and I heard people say – well, there's no reason for him to call a woman names like that. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't a woman. This is an evil, evil, evil person. She deserves every name that man called her, plus more.
No.
She deserves way more than what he gave her. Trust me on that. But you guys up in Canada, obviously Kim, our producer, is from Canada, and I have numerous people that I am in contact with from Canada, so they do keep me up to date of the happenings up there in Canada. And honestly, and I'll be honest with everybody, I really, really didn't even pay attention to what was going on in Canada until this whole pandemic, and when the Freedom Convoy broke out, I had already been paying attention to Canada and what Justin Trudeau was doing. And I thought to myself, boy, what he's doing up there in Canada is just, that's straight up tyrannical. But then when the Freedom Convoy came out and all those people, and I seen the videos and I started talking to Tamara Leach and Chris Barber and Rooster and all those people, I started reaching out and communicating with some of them. And my mind was blown. I could not believe the things that I was hearing. And then I started getting people from Canada that started reaching out to me from being down here in the States, telling me I haven't been able to see my family in the States and vice versa because of these mandates. And I'm like, I didn't realize that I was going to go from a trucking advocate and fighting for the trucking industry to fighting for human rights and fighting against mandates within 24 hours, because that's exactly what happened. And after that, I went up to the Capitol in St. Paul and stood with the healthcare workers. There was thousands of them up there fighting against these mandates because of Governor Walz in Minnesota. And the fact that your president here in the United States, ladies and gentlemen, Joe Biden, will not relinquish the Emergency Powers Act. He says he's going to do it in May. Well, why do you got to wait till May? If it's over with and you can do it in May, then why not do it now? He's buying himself a couple months is all he's doing, because he's not going to relinquish that. And if for those of you that don't know what the Emergency Powers Act is, it basically gives your government a right to circumvent the Constitution and basically do whatever the hell they want to do. And if you haven't looked into that and you don't understand what that exactly means, I'm telling you right now, your government has become rogue. They have become tyrannical. This government is the same government that our forefathers warned us about, and that's the truth. And that's not just here in the United States. That's in Canada. That's in New Zealand. That's in Germany. That's in the UK. That's everywhere. Look at Brazil.
Yeah, now you got to look at something long term here, Jeremy. Okay? And the long term is this. If he doesn't want to release the powers, okay, up until May, you got to think to yourself, okay, what's going to happen between now and May? There's the big there's the big question, number one, okay? And I'm going to let Daryl finish up with that one, because I'm sure he's going to have a little bit of input on it. But I'm looking at it long term. I'm saying, okay, there's something that's coming down the pipe, okay, where they need those emergency powers still in effect, okay? Now, this, in my opinion, okay, this is where I think you're going to lead into the next subject, which is Operation Bluebeam. But before you go there, I want to ask one question, and hopefully somebody can figure this one out, because we haven't been able to find an answer to this just yet. All this money that is being collected from the fines, the violations outside of the 15-minute cities, where the hell is that money going? Because right now, nobody has set anything in stone as to where this money is supposed to be contributed.
That's a good question. And I don't have the answer, and I'm almost positive that none of us have the answer on this radio show at this point. Not that we won't do our research on it and try to find out, but I'm going to go out on a limb here and just say that it's going in the back pocket of the corrupt politicians. But, no, you're right. I'm going to bring up our last subject, which is Project Bluebeam. And we have about 23 minutes left, and I want to make sure we get to that because it all kind of coincides with everything we talked about tonight. And it actually it trended on Twitter this week because of all the flying spy balloons and all that stuff. So, Reaper, I'm going to let you go, and I appreciate your comments and your addition to the conversation.
Thanks again, Jeremy, and you guys enjoy the rest of the night, and I'm going to be sitting on the side and listening to the show. So you guys take care, and my God almighty, man, stay safe.
All right. I appreciate it, Reaper. Reaper's a regular caller to the show, and we appreciate his input because he's obviously from Canada, and he can share a lot of insight of what's happening in Canada that is more than likely – well, it's not more than likely. It is happening down here in the United States also. But I want to go right to Project Bluebeam, and I know Chris will help me out with this, and so will Daryl. For those of you that don't know what Project Bluebeam is, Project Bluebeam is – well, it trended this week on Twitter. And with all the spy balloons that we've seen in the news and foreign objects and UFOs that were being shot down over Lake Huron, Alaska, one of the spy balloons started in Montana. They didn't shoot it down until across our whole country in South Carolina. And Chris has got a very interesting story about this after I get done with the explanation of what Project Bluebeam is. So Project Bluebeam is a conspiracy theory suggests that NASA has secret plans to create New World Order. Now, if you listen to our show and we talk about the New World Order and the World Economic Forum, you'll understand that this all fits in. So here's what Project Bluebeam is. It came from a Canadian journalist and a conspiracy theorist is what they call him. His name was Serge Monast. And it was first developed in 1994 before he published his beliefs in a book entitled Project Bluebeam. The theory suggests NASA and the United Nations, that leads into what the Reapers said about Chrystia Freeland joining United Nations. And anyway, they're planning to create a new world order by using technologically simulated mind control to shape a global new age religion. Now, I know this sounds crazy, but remember, ladies and gentlemen, conspiracy theories are only conspiracy theories until they become true, which we've seen a lot of in the last 2 years. Mr. Monast believed that generating a global New Age religion was the only thing that would make a worldwide dictatorship possible. He detailed his belief that NASA would aim to discredit all existing religions through the breakdown of all archaeological knowledge. Step one deals with the setup of earthquakes at certain precise locations of the planet where supposedly new discoveries will suddenly explain the wrong meaning of all major religions, basic doctrines, he said. The theory suggests that by providing evidence to falsify the teachings of all major religions, people will be more likely to accept the New Age religion when it is formed. Step two, a gigantic space with 3D holographic laser projections. Mr. Monast said, the second stage in creating a new world order should be using a gigantic space show with 3D holographic images, lasers, and sounds to seduce people into believing in the new God. The show will consist of laser projection of multiple holographic images to different parts of the world, each receiving a different message according to predominantly regional national religious faith. From the depths of space, astonished followers of the various creeds will witness their own returned Messiah in spectacularly convincing lifelike realness. Mr. Manasse said all these depictions of the Messiah would then merge into one. This one God will in fact be the Antichrist, who will explain the various scriptures have been misunderstood, that the religions of all, that all are responsible for turning brother against brother, nation against nation. Therefore, the world's religions must be abolished to make a way for the golden age, he said. Step three, telepathic two-way communication. Now pay attention to this, ladies and gentlemen. This is where things start to get really creepy. It is believed NASA will use low-frequency radio waves to telepathically communicate with humans in an attempt to shape their beliefs to match those taught by the New Age religion. Mr. Manasse said the telepathic communication would be used as a form of mind control to trick people into thinking their God is delivering them messages directly. The message will be sent from a device, your telephone, your cell phone, your iPad, that can deliver audible signals directly to an individual while they remain undetectable by anyone else. The microwave beam generated by the device is moderated at audio frequencies and can broadcast voices directly into the brain. And step four, universal supernatural manifestations using electronic means. The final step of Project Bluebeam is to create chaotic event that will leave people willing or desperate enough to accept the world, the new world order. Mr. Manasse said this could occur with up to three different orientations. One is to make mankind believe that an alien invasion is about to strike down on each major city of the earth. The second is to make the Christians believe to a major rapture with the supposedly divine intervention of an alleged good alien force coming to save the people from brutal satanic attack. The third orientation in the fourth step is a mixture of electronic and supernatural forces. The goal of this one deals with global satanic ghosts all around the world in order to push all population on the edge to drown into a wave of suicide, killing, and permanent psychological disorder. As you would expect, as you would expect with such a highly contentious topic, there are strong beliefs supporting and discrediting this conspiracy theory. I'm not going to get into the rest of it, but that's the gist of it. By the way, Mr. Manasse was arrested twice for being in possession of classified information, I believe it was. I can't remember exactly, but he was arrested twice, and he died of a heart attack 30 days after he was released a second time. So I'm not going to comment on that because I haven't researched his death enough to comment on it. It sounds suspicious to me. But this is where I want to go to Chris, because Chris has he had a very I'll just bring it to Chris. He had a very good what was it that you told me earlier, Chris? And I was just like, holy shit.
Well, I'm going to be honest. I don't really remember, but I'm going to confess this. I'm going to confess something to our audience. I'm going to confess something that I did that after hearing this story just doesn't seem so funny anymore. I once got a hold of my friend's phone. He didn't have it locked. And I went in, and I found where he had me saved in his contacts, in his contact list. So I went in, and I edited my own name in his contact list. And I changed it to God. And I then texted him at 2 o'clock in the morning to let him know that he was not leading a proper life, and that I was disappointed in him. So now that you're talking about the government,
boy,
now you're talking about the government playing this game, and that shit ain't so funny no more. But.
Come on, guys. This is a serious show.
Right. Oh. And so, but no,
if you haven't, do yourself a favor. Just go and look up the subject of holograms. Because these holograms, and I'm about to make a noise here because I'm setting my parking brake. The holograms that you may have seen in some past experience, maybe some of these rock or rap music shows were, or even the Olympics where they did holograms on stage. Okay, those are amateur. Professional-grade holograms, the military-grade holograms that are out there, just look up some of these holograms. Look up, like, you know, dragon hologram. I believe it was in China. And look at what they are, the images they are able to create in 3D moving around in the sky. They are extremely convincing. They are extremely real looking. And this was another one of those theories that when I first heard of Blue Beam, I said, okay, that's kind of out there, man. Just imagine me in that hippie voice, if you could. Imagine me like looking like the Big Lebowski, being like, you know, holding my white Russian and being like, yeah, that's pretty out there, man, you know. But and then all of a sudden, like, UFO stories kept popping up in the news. And then first it was the Navy confirming that they had seen UFOs. And then the Pentagon was confirming that we have UFOs. And then Congress is forming a committee, a task force, to investigate UFOs. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, okay, maybe it's coincidental that this whole Project Blue Beam theory is out there. And all of a sudden the government that, you know, has been, you know, writing off the existence of UFOs for only the last seven decades, is all of a sudden acknowledging that they're real. And then all of a sudden, okay, now here we are this week, we're shooting UFOs out of the damn sky. Okay, tell me that Project Blue Beam isn't about to be unleashed on us for real.
Well, and look at Roswell, New Mexico a few years back when they, that Facebook group or whatever it was, they organized, like, all these people were going to go to Roswell and they were going to charge Roswell to find out what was really at Roswell, New Mexico, in the hangars. Was there really aliens there? And that really put the military on high alert. Like the military basically come out and said, if you try to come on to Roswell property, you will be shot and killed. They weren't fucking around. This is real shit, ladies and gentlemen. But like Project Blue Beam, they're just research this. We say research this about a million times through the show because. And this is why we say it, because we want you to see it with your own two eyes. You're listening to three guys on a blog talk radio program. You're thinking, "Oh, these guys are out of their fucking minds, Jesus!" But when we tell you to go research something, just go look for yourself, then and find out for yourself. Dig into it a little bit. Don't cause yourself mental strain or emotional damage. Emotional damage. No, just go and research it. Go and research this. Secret government, what is it, Chris? Help me out here. Secret government, not programs, but experiments. Secret government experiments that have been unclassified. You're gonna get a list. I think the list is close to 150 or 200. I'll have to go back and find it again. But I'm going to tell you something. When you start looking into some of this stuff, you realize that that's when I realized that, holy shit, we've been lied to our whole life. Everything that they tell you is the truth is not the truth because it's classified. Hell, you look at the congressional hearings and Senate hearings. We requested this information from this organization or this agency, and here's what we got. And the whole fucking page is redacted. How the hell are you going to have an investigation on anything when all you get is redacted information? It's criminal. Our Senate and our Congress are supposed to be the lawmakers of this country, and they're not being given the truth. It's fucking ridiculous. I've been using the F word a lot in the last couple minutes, but good Lord, ladies and gentlemen, pay attention. But what's your thoughts on all of this? Daryl. I mean, Project Bluebeam, when I told you that today, on the I called you earlier on the phone, and we were just talking about stuff, and I mentioned Project Bluebeam, and you said, what was that again, Project Blue, something that you hadn't heard about, which is, that's good. I mean, it's good, it's okay. And for the audience, it's okay that you didn't hear about this. That's why you listen to our show, so we can inform you, so you can go do your own research. But Daryl, what are your thoughts about this whole Project Bluebeam and the spy balloons and the UFOs that we've been seeing the last week and a half? I would like to hear your thoughts.
You know, and like you were saying, okay, now people, Project Bluebeam, you know, he's telling me about it, and I had to look into it. It ain't nothing new. And I looked this up, and, okay, in the India Times, August 17th, not 2023, not 2020, August 17th, 2008. And like you said, the purpose of it is to create an artificial second coming in order to control people as for the New World Order's purpose, one, to abolish all Christian and religion orders and replace them with a one world religion based on the cult of man, to abolish all nationalities, identities, and national pride in order to establish a world identity and a world pride, and to abolish the family as known today in order to replace them with individuals all working for the glory of the new one world government. Folks, when are you going to start opening up your eyes? This stuff has been going on forever. And again, I didn't hear about it because I got a lot of things that are going on. He told me about it. You know what I did? I took the time out of doing my thing for Facebook, my history for Facebook, getting ready for the show, and looked this up and for myself see it. And this has been going on since, and you know it's been going on further than 2008. And this is from India? There is no excuse for you not to be able to look this up. And some of you are probably saying, oh, you people don't know what the hell you're talking about. Well, then do us a favor, look it up. That's the only thing you have to do for yourself. Now, after you look it up, you see the facts.
You got to look at it this way, okay? You just got to look at it.
Thank
That's you. All you can do anymore.
Yeah, look at it and then act upon it. I mean, shit, people, 15-minute cities and all this crap, I do not want my rights taken away because some of you lazy son of a bitches don't even want to look things up. And you're so content in your Nintendo's electronic bullshit that you have lost the sense of reality and what people are. You know what? Look at all the stuff that they're using against us to keep us separated. They're doing it for a purpose. And the people that, you know, this ties into what's going on. To me, it ties into what's going on in Ohio. And all the shit that's going on. It's just, it's irritating that our government has done this to us. And now we need to start standing up and fighting back. But unfortunately, we also got to fight back with people who we elect into office for them to start telling the truth. Because these people that's in office now, they're out of control. They don't give a shit. I love this nation. And
yeah.
I don't consider myself a black American. I consider myself a damn American. And I'm going to do what the hell I can to fight back. And like you said, I'm not going for this crap. I'm going to fight for my freedom. And I will fight hard for it. I don't care who you are. I will stand and fight my freedoms, and I will stand and fight by your side for your freedoms. This is bullshit.
Right. No, exactly. And we just, like me and Chris have always said from the beginning, this is our 67th episode, by the way, and we've said from the very beginning, you don't have to believe what we're telling you. We want you to go and research. We want you to go prove us wrong. Discredit us. Call back the next week and say, hey, I looked up what you're talking about, and it turns out you guys are full of shit. And here's what I found. Go ahead. Do it. That's what we want. But in 67 episodes now, 67, ladies and gentlemen, we haven't gotten one of those phone calls. We got one a month ago that wanted to say fuckity-fuck about 82 times because he had, you know, free speech. That's about as intelligent as the comebacks have come. So... we're nearing the end of this show tonight, ladies and gentlemen, and I want Daryl to give his final thoughts for a couple minutes, and then we'll move on to Chris, and then I'll throw it over to myself for just a second, and then we'll we'll have another completion, a successful completion of the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show number 67, uncensored. So, Daryl, give us your final thoughts, brother.
My final thought is, other than I appreciate being on the show and everybody who's listening, you know, wherever you're at, for taking the time out and listening to us, we really, really appreciate it. And I appreciate, you know, everybody on this show. Folks, I just, you know, I speak very passionately, and I'm not afraid to say facts. And I'm not afraid to go heads up with someone. I will not back down from anybody. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're Antifa. I don't care if you're Black Lives Matter. I don't care if you're Biden. I don't care if you're Kamala Harris. I will confront you, and I will come at you full force. I am not afraid of you. Never will be. But people, look, I just, you know, we're on the show to help educate you. That's it. To help educate you, and then you go out and research for your own. Come back to the show and talk to us. If we're wrong, please tell us. We'll admit it. If we're right, you know what? You don't have to admit it, but at least you know. It's like these crazy son of bitches, they're telling the truth. Let's open up our eyes. Let's start loving each other. Let's start treating each other with some respect. And then let's go forth to making this nation better. Because New World Order, I don't want nothing to do with it. They can keep that and shove it up their ass. All these rich folks that want this New World Order, screw you. You know what? I like my freedom. I like being able to do what I want to do. I like my big old diesel truck. I like getting my gas-powered lawnmower and doing my grass. I like my freedom. And I like helping my people around in my neighborhood. I like them to have their freedom. So with that in mind, that's my word for tonight. Love you.
All right. I appreciate you, brother. Now, Daryl's a welcome addition to the show, and as you all know, we've said this a million times, he ran for lieutenant governor in Colorado, and yeah, he has numerous political connections, which we will be, you know, getting in contact with in the upcoming weeks and having them on the show as live guests. But with that, let's go to Chris. Chris, what is your final thoughts for tonight's show?
Well, the good news is I am now officially parked and everything, so if you'd like me to jump on the switchboard and help out for the last 90 seconds, I'm good to go. Other than that, man, you know,
I'd like to shoot you in the ass with the BB gun, lay there in the tall grass and laugh at what I'd done. Put a blood blister upon each bun. I'd like to shoot you in the ass with a BB gun.
Right, okay, so just want to wrap it up. You know, Daryl really pointed out the importance of doing your own research, because none of us here actually want to listen to a guy who admits publicly to enjoying mowing his yard. And that's my final thought.
So we hold on now. So we had a guy get on our show tonight and admit that he enjoys mowing his own yard.
Yeah.
Then we had another
yep.
guy get on the show tonight and say I can't get it up for some reason. It never happens, but tonight it happened. Holy shit! What is this radio show coming to? Oh my.
Bikerson for the win, baby.
Hello,
Bikerson for the win.
Oh, my God.
Ladies and gentlemen, don't listen to us. We don't know what the fuck we're talking about. We're a bunch of morons.
There's something screwy around here.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, man.
You know what? We had another great radio show. Try to get all this information in one radio show, and it's sometimes it's really tough to get it all in. But it leads you in a direction. If you listen, we give you the information to go research, and we become a lazy society worldwide. Everything's at our fingertips, but we choose not to look at it because our feelings matter more than facts. And that needs to change, and it needs to change fast, because if it doesn't, it's over with. Game over. You know, you can get that Pac-Man sound or whatever that is when you get eaten by the little goblins. It's coming. And we're just trying to warn you, and we're trying to we're trying to get you to wake up to what is really going on. When you always hear this, history always repeats itself. We're not lying to you. They weren't lying to you. Whoever came up with that term is not lying to you. History always repeats itself because we all become too complicit. And that's where we're at today, unfortunately. But that's not saying that we can't change things. That's not saying that we can't wake up and stand together and not comply together. It means we have to stand up. It means we have to help each other get the facts out there. Quit with the Republican-Democrat bullshit. Quit with the division race-baiting bullshit. Start standing up and doing what's right because you actually take the time to research. Not research by going to an article by MSNBC or ABC or NBC or CNN or Fox News. Read all of them. Watch all of them. And when they reference something in one of their articles or one of their news broadcasts, go and research it. But don't research it to the point where, oh, I seen one article or one headline, and I researched that one article, and I agree with it, and it makes me feel comfortable and warm and fuzzy inside that I'm being told the truth. Don't do that. You have to read all of them. There might be 300 of them. You have to read all of them, all of them. And here's why. Because if there's 300 articles on one subject and 250 of them are calling the conspiracy theorist or conspiracy theory and 50 of them are coming at you from a different angle, a different direction, those are probably the 50 you want to pay attention to because you've got to weed out the paid propagandists. On that note, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you all have a great night. God bless each and every one of you.
I said, friend, let me get that for you as he rolled his wheelchair toward the door of the restaurant I was going in. I helped the old fella through the door. I could see that his hat said he served in World War II. I shook his hand and said, friend, let me buy dinner for you. He said, son, I wish everyone felt like you do. I watched a tear roll from his eyes. He said, grace. And as he sat there and he talked to God, my heart was in my throat. As I heard him ask, we'd all find a better way. And he said, if we keep on going the way we're going, we're headed for hell on a fast train, not knowing how we got there or how we're gonna come back. They've taken the U right out of the USA and broke the right arm off of the Statue of Liberty. Put out the torch that lights our way. Then they say that it's all politically correct. Help us stand up now, God, or there won't be